we studied the how the ashes are made enough, right? Burning and exploding cows and
grinding.
Blood burns and dung gets thrown all over Powell.
Straining through sieves.
We got that part down.
Straining through sieves.
Goat things that flip dirt through the air.
And then you know that the like we are the cow.
Exploding cow.
We are the exploding cow. Plenty of shit all over.
It used to be slow train.
An ever expanding cow.
It's not the exploding cow. But the ashes by themselves were without merit. They had to be mixed with a particular water. And that's what we're going to study tonight is the water. Okay? Revelation 22.
We have your permission to continue, Pastor.
Was it 20 colon 2? Or is it 20?
The very
can we,
last one.
Can we may we continue, Paul? May we begin, Master
Please.
Paul.
Where are we going to
Please.
Be?
Please.
Where will we be?
Let's look at the whole thing. We got to look at starting
it's all right with me. Thank
Revelation 21. Death and hell have been just cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:1 now. I was telling you what was going on in 20. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I can't remember if it was in here. And was it in here?
Stealth, I think.
Or stealth?
I think it was stealth.
Anyway, everything we've taught, the theology, we believe that the bride is being prepared from the church. And that we would think that the church, the bride, would rise up. But here it's the New Jerusalem coming down prepared as a bride. And that's an interesting theological position. But just think about that for a minute. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, that could just as easily be translated, the tabernacle of God is in men, and he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be in them, and they and be their God. So, I mean, that's a translator's choice. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and the north 3 gates, and the south 3 gates, and in the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysophorus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. Now, if we ever get to the gemstones, and if we ever finish the stuff on the 12, on the stars, we'll see that each of those stones had not only a spiritual meaning that you could understand, but it was also assigned to one of the 12 tribes. And each of those stones was also assigned to one of the signs of the zodiac. And when, I don't think I've busted anybody in here for it, but in other groups, they wear pieces of the jewels to allure. That's a whole other world. I don't want to get into that tonight. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them, or the people of them which are saved, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Now, to use the word defile, it's a Levitical term. It means somebody that is unclean and needs the waters to purify. It's not, you don't defile the temple by, you know, smoking a cigarette or saying a cuss word. You defile the temple by particular, it's a Levitical definition. It's in the law. It's not what you think is defilement. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, now I said all that to say this next couple verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. worship God. In other words, worship God instead of him. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Somehow there's a river of life that's running out from eternity. It's running out from the temple. By it is the tree of life. The leaves of the tree are by which men are healed. And Christ said, whosoever believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so if you look from Genesis to here, you'll see that the water always has to do with cleansing. And it's the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit in his work of cleansing, as opposed to when it's oil, then it's the Holy Spirit in his work of empowerment. And this river of life must be here in order for the ashes of the red heifer to be manifested. And we must know that the water is here, otherwise the ashes will do you no good. The ashes will simply be this. It'll be half the mystery, because they are totally worthless unless they come from the waters come from a particular place. You remember where the waters come from? The pool of Siloam, which is related to the word Shiloh. So let's go to Genesis 49. These are the promises that Jacob gave to the 12 sons that defined, really. Remember the 12 sons, the 12 tribes are a picture. And the 12 I won't go into that tonight. But each of those tribes represents a different picture or an aspect of the bride, of the mystery. And so we're going to look at only one, not tonight, Judah. Look in verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old man, who shall rouse him up? The scepter, or the right to give law, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, Shiloh, the pool of Siloam, the word is related directly to the Shiloh. And it means, the pool of Siloam means the sent one, or the sent, for the sent one, S-E-N-T, not S-C-E-N-T. And let's go look at some other waters. Go to Isaiah 8. We'll spend some time on Isaiah. Moreover, the word of the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maherashalam Hashbaz. It says, make speed to the spoil. I don't know what it says. In other words, you want to, it's like the word, it's like if somebody walked into the room and threw up in the air $1,000 bills.
The garden.
And then let them fall, and then, not into this room, because none of you are, all of you are too spiritual to go running after $1,000 bills.
Whoever would get the garden first of it would be called
the Maher Shalom.
It's kind of like you have one wish.
But anyway, the idea, that word means quick to fly upon the prey. Quick to jump in when there's... And I took unto me a faithful witness to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechai. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahershala Hashbaz.
Let's just call him Baz for short.
Ma.
For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria.
So that means before 9 months?
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And the Lord spake unto me again, saying, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Razin and Remaliah's sons, our son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, and even the king of Assyria in all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And stretching out of his wings shall he fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall not come, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Now, the operative thing here is that, in verse 6, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly.
Now, is it modifying, do the waters that go softly or the people?
No, the waters go softly. It's the contrast is between the simple waters that run softly and the mighty Euphrates River for the Assyrians. Now this contrast defines why you shouldn't judge by your senses. And this is especially true, and the reason this is reading is connected with the ashes of the red heifer and the cleansing from the touching of the dead body, is because the propensity is that if you feel like you're defiled, your propensity is to come to the one who you think has spiritual wisdom or understanding to be cleansed. That in the metaphors, the rivers of the Euphrates. But you refuse to go softly. And it's the weakest among you. It's what we've been talking about, embracing weakness. It's the only the weakest of that time, of whenever the need arises, that can apply the waters. Can you hear that a little bit?
Yeah, it's the thing about where you said it's neither the dead body that defiles the water nor the ashes that purify. It's man wants that big, mighty, flowing, strong river, the place of strength, rather than how could this little bit of water from this little pool here be effective?
Okay.
So you're saying, like, the modus operandi of going and confessing to the fossil, which is like the Euphrates, is like, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, kind of bullshit.
Yeah, what you need to find is the one that's the weakest among us. And that one is given more honor. All right, go to Ezekiel 21. Well, we should read a lot, but I don't feel like reading a lot. So read, let's start in verse 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand. And thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. Now this is the one I want you to hear. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Now, the rabbis say that that's talking specifically about the waters of Shiloah. The waters can only be given to those whose right they are due. You remember that the only thing that the Abimelech or those people that could do that were the usurpers in the land is the waters, they could only fill up the well. The waters cannot and will not be given to the flesh. The waters cannot be given except the one to whom they were due. That's why Shiloh, or Shiloah, the sent one, is the name of the pool. You might as well forget, and we might as well forget as a body, trying to apprehend the waters if you still have self as your definition of self. Because all that self will do, and he'll do it automatically, because the waters can only be found in total emptying, total weakness. And that's something that flesh can't do. Flesh has to fill it up. It has to fill the weakness up with apparent strength. It can't come in weakness. Now, each one of you are connected to that river of life. Every man on the face of the earth is connected to that river of life, because the New Jerusalem is the overriding reality on the whole human race. And the reason those waters, those life-giving waters, aren't manifested, because Adam keeps trying to better himself. He keeps trying to get better. He keeps trying to improve. He can't embrace the weakness. So it's only, for the purposes of what we're talking about, there are many purposes of the water, remember that. You don't use the waters of Siloam only for the ashes of the red heifer, you use them for many, many things. But remember, there's no penalty for touching a dead body, or or a grave or a dead bone in Egypt. There's no penalty for touching a dead body in the wilderness. There's no penalty for touching a dead body anywhere. You can't even see that you're doing it except in the promised land. So that's why the idea of leprosy, you can't see it in Egypt. You can't see it in the wilderness. There is no leprosy in the temple. So it's only from the border to the temple that there's any leprosy. And it's only from in the promised land that there that this particular aspect of the water, this, it's in fact, it's the only time the waters are, have any merit. There's no waters, there's no mystery of the waters while you're still in Egypt. There's no mystery of the waters while you're still in the wilderness. That's why the waters are not taught. That's why it's so hard to apprehend them. You understand a little bit? And where is this well?
East
Europe.
Yeah.
No. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 8 again. Well, no, I'm sorry. Go to Isaiah 22. And verse 7, it shall come to pass that thy choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in the array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in the day to the armor, to the house of the house of the forest. You have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. The waters of the lower pool are the pool of Siloam, and it's where the only place that they could get the water for the ashes of the red heifer. It is 1 micron from Gehenna. It's 1 foot from hell, and one less than 1 foot. It's the last. It's the last stop before hell, before Gehenna. That's the only place the waters are that can be used for purification.
Is it outside the gate?
Way outside the gate.
You're about to step into hell.
You can't go any place. If you make one other step, you're in hell. Does that seem weird to any of you?
It would seem that, yeah.
Isaiah 9:6.
Isaiah 9:6.
Well, start just to go to Isaiah 9.
Right there.
Verse 20, chapter 8, verse 22. 21. They shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. This is to anybody that's out of the rest. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Okay. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. They shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as in her vexation, when at the first he was lightly afflicted to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, etc., etc., etc. The people that walked in darkness. Now here's the thing. Start paying attention. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I want you to hear this. The waters, everything is right next to hell. I mean,
well, at that point, I was starting to feel weird. Why is right next to hell?
Because if you go 1 second away from that, yeah, you will start trying to fix your house.
Yeah.
It's like great news. It's like that.
It's got to be the place where you're in the greatest need is where the pool of Siloam is.
Is this true that it's that because of the way this is said, it's like it's operative, that it's the people who are in the valley of death, in the land of darkness, are the ones that see the light?
That's right.
Yea, though I am in the valley of darkness.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like being that close to hell. That's I mean, saying it's 180. Yeah. You know, it's just about turn. Any more than that, you get into the gray and the shadows and stuff.
Close to the fire.
No, it's just the same. But what if people were around it, waiting for somebody to help put them in it if they couldn't get it?
That's a, yeah. It's good news.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. He came not to call the righteous. He came not to call those that had their life together. He came only to those that are in need. Everything else,
and it's, you know, it's like he came to those who know they're in need, because all are in need, all are walking in darkness.
Thou hast multiplied the nation and has not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning fuel of fire, or material for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, you got to see that it's right that his revelation comes in the valley of the shadow of death. The pool is next to hell. What's your first instinct if you've been in trouble? Right. First instinct is usually, and you get out of it, you make vows and you move away from it. You're going to move away, far away from it. You're going to construct a construct around your life to protect you from ever being in that kind of need again.
Get as far away from hell as possible.
That's why God keeps pushing us back to that point of need, because that's where the water's flowing.
Is alcohol C6H12O6? It's worth it. Because this thing just occurred to me that the fuel here, the alcohol, the carbon, it's just the ashes.
Right.
The difference between the alcohol and the
that is good.
That's a revelation Mike can appreciate.
Mr. Science.
That's cool.
It's science.
Did he just say something really smart?
Yeah. That sounded like it.
Go ahead, tell me again.
C6H12O6. Just kind of confused me.
Alcohol, ethyl alcohol is C6H12O6, right, which is nothing more, it's water.
H2O.
With three parts of carbon. I guess it's three parts, six parts, 12 parts.
So you're trying to tell me the ashes of the red heifer are the same as stoli?
No, he's saying the difference between water and alcohol, the difference between carbon and ashes are...
Right, I understand, yeah. Don't you tell
them? Alcohol burns.
Well, alcohol burns and water.
Yeah, but the idea, that's part of it. The fuel is part of it. But also, it's more basic than that. that the ashes of the red heifer are the cleansing, if misused, will
set your ass on fire.
Make you weird.
Way to go, pal.
That's great. That's
remembered good. High school chemistry. Yeah,
that's the only thing.
It wasn't high school chemistry, but then at the floor of a bar.
Yeah, that's that dang still they were coming together back here in Tennessee.
Drinking sternum. Excuse me.
Okay. The reason that I wanted you to get a hold of this is that this is the only place. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one. The government is on his shoulders, but it's only when you know you're standing right next to hell.
Experience bears that out.
This pool was a rock cut pool. It's cut in the rocks. It's 71 feet by 75 feet.
Is it still there?
I don't think so. It was, again, it's Jerusalem's up here. I mean, the temple's up here. You got to go down a flight of steps down towards Gehenna to get to the pool. And what they did is they tried to make it beautiful. And so what they did is they cut these beautiful marble steps or up into the temple. And they surrounded it by a 12-foot wide arcade that was 22 and a half feet high.
Arcade?
Arcade.
No video game. Donkey Kong?
What is an arcade?
Got Johnny's attention.
Yeah.
What is an arcade? It's a walkway. It's got wait. It's is there
a patio with a wall, isn't it?
Huh?
It's just a patio with a wall. Isn't that what an arcade is?
I don't know. I don't know what the legal definition of an arcade is.
A dictionary? We could have done.
Yeah, then we could go look it up.
Why don't you get a dictionary?
He's lined up in a cage.
The young would ask. Or the
how does the pool stuff filled up? Is it like a spring?
Yeah, it's fed from a living spring.
Okay, it is passage. A passage having an arched roof, any covered passageway, especially one with shops along the sides, an avenue of trees. In architecture, it's a line of arches with their supporting columns.
Okay.
Does anybody
have a
so it's a walkway with arches and columns, like, you know, Romans usually do.
It is an esplanade.
Yeah, it's like an esplanade.
Jeremiah 2.
But you see, Johnny, that's how we learn. We get our dictionary and we...
Well, I mean, you study these things 50 years ago, or I did, 45 years ago, and I just remembered, what I remembered was half of an arch for some reason, and I knew that didn't make sense.
I remember, the amusement areas around the beach where they'd have it, it'd be a series of arches, and the columns come between the arches, and it's like a walkway along the beaches.
Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have you found in me, that you are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither say you, where is the Lord, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt, that led you through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when you entered in, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim, and see, and unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What does it mean to hew out a broken cistern?
Worse, try to make water go where you want it.
Well, I mean, you put your name on it. It's, I don't want to have to go down there. I'm going to keep it over here.
Keep working on something you know won't work.
Arrange your life and your agenda and your friends and your environment and everything just right so it'll hold life.
But it's just another bag with holes in it.
Okay, let's see if we can see some more. Go to Jeremiah 17. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. How many of you cannot see when good comes? That's why it says in in 2 Peter that all things shall continue as they were from the very beginning. You expect things to change externally, and they never will. And in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, the end shall be here. Because you have missed. You didn't see when good was coming, or good was here.
If you see the thing in the manna, which everything that comes is the manna, then if you can see it, then it's perfect. If you can't see it, it's bitter. And it's always coming.
For he shall be like the heath, or you know what the heath is?
A little short shrub.
But what
is? It sounds more like it's a salt bush, isn't it?
No, I think it's the kind of bush. It's one of those like a tumbleweed that don't have any root. But I don't know what it is. I haven't looked that one up. But it's anyways like a heath in the desert shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. The fountain of living waters. Let's go to Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are in a great deep. Are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. They have fallen and can't get up. For that with thee is the fountain of life. One more. Revelation 7. Verse. Anyway, these are the ones that he sees about the throne of God. Verse 11, all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne in their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence cometh they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are which are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun lighten them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What we must see is that this reality, this new Jerusalem, is our only reality. And peace and life and cleansing and everything else are positional. You're either in it or you're out of it. You're in it or you're out of it. The peace of Jerusalem is only in Jerusalem. The waters of purification are only at the pool of Siloam. The only place that you find these are when you recognize that you are there. That's why you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it never is external. There's never anything that you can sense with the senses that causes you to be out of the rest. Amen? Okay.